The scripture this morning, and I am supposed to read all three, right?
Yep.
Okay. Comes from Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The second reading comes from Romans 10, beginning at the 8th verse. "But what does it say? 'The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And the last comes from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do thank you for the opportunity once again to come into your house just to be your people and to know that you speak to us through your words, through your spirit, and through every living thing that is in this world today. Help us this morning to be with you and to understand your will in our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lent season. As I thought about it, and I thought about what we were going to do, and we discussed, and we decided to talk about this Lenten season. Our theme was going to be Easter's grace. So as I thought about it, I'm thinking, okay, so what kind of sermons am I going to be able to teach about Easter's grace? And of course, like his tradition has it,
usually the first Sunday of Lent, we always talk about the temptation of Jesus. And I thought, how appropriate that is, because when I titled my message, I got looking at it and it's like, well, so what is this grace, this Easter's grace that we're going to talk about? But it's grace under pressure, isn't it? Isn't that what temptation really is? Isn't it grace under pressure? When I thought about this, and I got looking about different things and how different ways to look at things, I got thinking about that old story of the sheriff who was trying to hire a deputy. So he puts a sign out, and his first applicant comes in, the guy comes in, and the sheriff looks at him, he says, okay, so here's what I need you to know. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to respond. And so he looks at this guy who comes in. He's probably not the brightest guy applying for the job. He looks at him, he says, so first thing we need to do, so what is 1 + 1? Well, the applicant looks at him, he says, well, it's 11. And the sheriff kind of scratched his head, well, I really hadn't thought of it that way. He said, well, here's another question. So what are 2 days of the week that begin with T's? Guy looks at him, today and tomorrow. Well, the old sheriff, he's just really confused now. He's thinking, okay, we're going to have to really straighten this guy out a little bit. He says, so he looks at me and says, okay, so who murdered Abraham Lincoln? Well, the applicant, he's thinking. Finally, he admits, he says, I don't know. The sheriff looks at him, he says, well, I want you to leave here and go home and think about that. So the guy walks out, got a great big smile on his face, walks up to his friends who's waiting to know how he made out. He looks at him, he says, I got the job. He already put me on my murder case. It's his first day in job. Think about it. What happens to us? And I've got to think about that when I got reading Temptation of Jesus. I'm thinking, well, isn't this Jesus' first day on the job? He came, he was baptized by John the Baptist. You read right before that. God said, this is my son, letting everybody know. Then what's the next thing that happens? The Spirit sends him out into the desert to be tested and to be tempted, to put this grace that Jesus is going to have to accept under pressure. I got thinking about that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record this. And Hebrews, when we read here today, testifies to this and pretty much lets us all know that this grace that we received is at times going to be under pressure. What do I mean by this? I got thinking about three examples in my life where I could actually know where grace was under pressure. Because when we think about what is the pressures that we're undergo in our everyday life. So I thought, thinking about my first day of school, we used to live over here on 29. And I think it's, many of you might know, it's Joe Banco's house. I grew up there. So my first day of school, I had to walk down the end of that driveway to get on the bus. And to this day, I can see it. And I'm thinking about, and I was not so, let's tell you, willing to head off to school. But I still remember that first day, and as I'm putting up a fuss about going, I remember what my father always said. He looked right straight at me, and he said, trust me, you'll be fine. How many of you have heard that phrase before? Then I got thinking later on, so when I was in Boy Scouts, I wanted to get my first merit badge because I was sick of being called a tenderfoot. And so I wanted to move on. I'm thinking, all right, so one of the things to get a merit badge was camping in the woods one night by yourself. I'm thinking, I can do that. The woods are right behind the house. So I'm getting all ready to go, and it's like, I'm getting real nervous. It's like, ooh, this could be a long night all by myself. But I get the courage, and I'm getting ready to go on, and it's like I'm almost ready to chicken out. And I look at my dad, and he looks at me, he says, trust me, you'll be fine. Go up, I don't know as I slept that night at all. I mean, You're sleeping by yourself, and you're in the woods and strange places and all the noises that are there. But I was fine. Then again, I've heard the same phrase when I first began to preach. God called me to preach. And I remember the first few sermons, when I'd write the sermons out, I'd be ready to go. Before we'd head out the door, my trip was to the bathroom where I tossed my hookies from the pressure, from the fear I'd have. But in the back of my mind, I would hear my earthly father and my heavenly father say, "Trust me, you'll be fine." When I thought about that, I thought, well, isn't that really what Paul was writing about when we read in Romans? What did he write? He said, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Guess what? We're all going to be tempted, aren't we? We're all going to have this grace under pressure. As I looked at this, I got thinking, all right, so if we read just out of the Gospels, out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially under Luke, it doesn't tell us that the Spirit led him anymore. It tells that he sent him. It was more of a suggestion. And we have to understand that Luke, when he's writing, he's writing to not only the Christian believers, but also the Jewish believers. So he has to back everything up. So when I looked at it, I got thinking, okay, so what's he teaching him? So when he talks about Jesus, the Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. That brings to mind the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai. Or maybe the 40 days of Elijah on Mount Horeb. Or even the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the desert. He tries to connect them with his Hebrew readers. And he also connects them with them spiritually. Think about this. So all of Jesus' responses, they all come out of Deuteronomy. One's out of Deuteronomy 8, 3, I think it's 6, 18, and or 6, 13, and 6, 16. If you read them in Deuteronomy, that's where these responses that Jesus quoted come from. But he definitely envisions a more cooperative Jesus than me. So I think our focus today, I want you to ask yourself some questions. So first thing is, so who would be a good example to you of somebody who's good whose grace under pressure is really, they're good at it. Who would you look up to? Who's good at temptation when it comes to them? You know, I'm talking really about somebody who can rise to the challenge. You give them something to do, they're good. They don't get too excited about it. They're willing to take it on. They don't let it get the best of them. They don't get boisterous or jump out of their shorts just because a little pressure is applied. We all know people that do, but who would be your example? Somebody can do it without panicking. I think I have to think of the story about the four high school boys. They decided they were ready for spring. They were going to take their own spring break. So they took a spring break, took the day off to school, and they're out and they're touring in the car. And I know most of you guys here have done that in your lifetime, taking the day off. You're touring in the car. You decide to come back to school. And when you come back, they say, okay, we all got to get our stories together. So they come back in class, and a teacher greets them coming in. Say, glad you could join us, boys. Where you been? Well, we had a flat tire on the way here. So that's great. So the teacher says, well, you missed a little quiz this morning. She's still smiling at him. Thinking, so I want you to get in your chairs, get out your paper and pencil, and I'll just give you the test orally. Okay. The boys they're tickled to death. Teacher's not mad at him. She's smiling and grinning at him. And she said, first question, Which tire was flat? Grace under pressure. That's what it looks like. Sure looked like it to me. And I thought about that, and I got thinking, so when you looked at, when you really get looking at what the temptations that Jesus went through, when you look at this very first one, it really hits right at gut level, doesn't it? Because it tells us, he says, Jesus, he went in there and he fasted for 40 days before dinner. He didn't eat. So oftentimes we'll think, okay, so he didn't have nothing to eat. Well, no, this was something he wrote that helped identify with his Hebrews, because they were used to fasting and fasting for long periods of time. So he wasn't actually starving. This wasn't something that happened to him. This is something he chose to do. So look at it. So Jesus, he chooses to go without so that he can identify with those around him and as an order of worship to his Father. And I thought about it was really interesting when the devil comes to him, hits him at this gut level because he knows he's starving. And doesn't the devil hit us all right where he knows he can reach us the best? At our lowest points in our lives, especially spiritually. But what does Jesus say to him? He gives him a really simple answer. Man does not live by bread alone. How many of us remember that? When we really want something, when our hearts desires to, we need to get this right now, or this is hurting me so much that we forget to rely on the simple fact that God's behind us. He says, trust me, you're going to be fine. That's what we need to think about when grace is under pressure, when we face temptation. Maybe in the second one, so in the second temptation when the devil comes to him, what's he do? He comes to him and he takes, all of a sudden he's got all this power, so he literally transports Jesus into time. And he flashes all of the world's kingdoms in front of him. I mean, this is spectacular. Think about this. So Jesus sees all the kingdoms of the world in front of him. And Satan comes to him and says, I'll give you all of these. All you got to do is fall down and worship me. I thought about that for a minute. Well, I think we see that a lot today. Every time you turn on the news, isn't that what our politicians are doing? Looks like sometimes. Isn't that political power that he was facing? Okay, you want power? I'll give it to you. You just got to fall down and worship me. We see that in our world today, constantly. We need to avoid that. When I thought about that, I'm thinking about it, and I'm looking again at Jesus' response, and what did he say? Jesus says that he said, the word says, worship the Lord God, your only, serve him only. Do we do that today? Think about it. So when you're given the opportunity to have control of something, to be in charge, or to change your mindset of how God teaches you, can you truly say in your heart, worship the Lord your God and serve him only? That's what he calls us to do. That's why we're here this Sunday. That's why we go to Sunday school. That's why we're doing all the work we should be doing in this world. It's because we worship the Lord our God and serve him only. So later on, he takes him to the city. He has him go climb on top of the highest point of the temple. Jesus is up there and he's on top. I can almost imagine him standing on our steeple here at the church. So Jesus is up there and he says, now the city's below him. Everybody can be watching you and they'll see you, but you need to throw yourself down. Can you imagine? I want you to do a Superman dive right here off the steeple. Because I know God will send his angels and they'll catch you. And you only get hurt. You know what will happen then? Then everybody's going to see it. It's going to hit the newspapers big time. But it's going to be on the news all across the world and everybody's going to love and adore you. Because you took a Superman dive off the steeple. What did Jesus say? Don't test the Lord your God. I thought about all these. And I thought about that we need to ask ourselves one more time. Who's your example of somebody that has grace under fire, under pressure? A good example. Somebody you can look to. Is it Jesus? When you're tempted, do you look to Jesus? Can you respond to him when you're tempted or tested just like Jesus did? Can you say, remembering that man does not live by bread alone. Every time I'm hungry for something, everything I desire something, I think man does not live by bread alone. But every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do we remember to worship our God only and to serve him only? We're so tempted to worship things outside of this. We get so carried away with things. We worship other things when we need to be remembering that true worship is to worship our God and serve him only. And too many times, as much as we'd like to, the scripture tells us, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It works the other way. He's going to test you. He's going to see whether you received his grace, especially when it's under pressure, when it's tempted. Do we hold the word near us? That's what Paul asked us. Paul reminded us in our reading this morning, he said, the word is near you. Is it? Is it in your mouth? Is it in your heart? Is the word of faith that you profess, as he says, proclaim, is that what you truly have when your grace is under pressure? You know, if it is, then you can heed my Father's advice. Trust me, you'll be fine. Amen. Let's sing together.